Thank you, Christine. Let's bow our head as we pray. Father, we present ourselves just as we are this morning. We come before you, Lord, without a plea. But just as we are, receive us this morning, Lord, before your presence. The sacrifice on the cross was made for me and for all who will believe. That precious blood that was shed for me and for all. Through the voice of the cross, you say, come to me, all, every one of us who are here this morning. Pleading, asking, supplicating for you to come and help us. Accept us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, there are so many about it, and at times we are tossed about. Many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting fears within and without. But we come to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Asking for acceptance. Is there anyone among us here this morning, or who are watching, or who we watch in the future, that we make a plea for acceptance just as they are? Lord, in the name of Jesus, do accept them and cleanse and wash and make them whole again in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Bless it, Lord. Receive all the glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And is good all the time. Glory be to God. This morning, the title of the message is Overcoming Consequences of Failures. Overcoming Consequences of failures. And we later read from the Bible on Luke chapter 15, verse 11, down as the Lord leads. Consequences of failures. No, I'm going to go a little in depth to bring it out. It may not apply to some of us here this morning because maybe we've overcome or we don't have anything we're going through. We can call as consequences. But there might be some who are going through stuff because of consequences of their own failure, their own mistakes. And at times you are caught in a situation you don't know what else to do. We are here this morning to present the word of God, that God loves you. No matter what they are, he can bring you back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Consequences is effect, outcome. Call it a payback of prior actions. That is what you have done. What you did, and now you are reaping the reward of those actions. In the Bible times, at times he said, we wages of sin. The wages. In the Bible times, he calls at times, no, it's like you put something, you sow a seed. And now you are reaping from what you sow. And in life, it is very painful to go through this. Anybody who have gone through what they did, and it came to bite them, payback. It is very tough because you are now living in a situation where you say, if I had known If only I can rewind back the clock. Set it back. Go back in time zone and erase it and have opportunity. Hindsight. I will not do it. But now it has been done. Now you find yourself reaping the whatever is the consequences of those actions. And many of us, we are in this situation and it seems that there's no way out. This morning I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, the Lord God Almighty, makes a way. But there's a part you have to play. Because you put yourself into that situation, you are going to play a part to get out of that situation. The Lord will help you. The Lord will guide you. The Lord will strengthen you when you do the right things to recover from that situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We are not talking about somebody who we are trying to prevent or try to help them from coming out of. Don't do it. Don't go there. No, that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about somebody who is already in the mire. In the pit, there's a place the Bible says overflowing of Jordan. And that was the water has gone over the normal area and overflowed. And it keeps rising and rising. In many cases, it is just at the nose level. And you are seeing this thing come upon you and you say, my God, what do I do? Now you have no plea. You are guilty. It's no question of did I do it or didn't I do it. It happens. It has happened. And you find yourself reaping the reward or the dividend of those failures. I want to encourage us today that the Lord is close. He's always around the corner to help us. Now, when you find yourself in this situation, there are three areas people go to. Do I continue? Do I stay where I am? Or do I go back? Do I continue and hopefully I can wade through the mud, through the mire, through the confusion, through the curse that's happened and come through clean again? Do I stay where I am? And try to figure it out and try to move out of it or whatever it is. Or do I go back? The portion we're going to read this morning is about somebody who say, I better go back where I was before. And I want to tell you there can be deliverance in staying where you are. There can be deliverance in moving forward to get out of it. It depends on the situation. It depends on the Lord's leading. In some cases, you have burned the bridge. In other words, you crossed over, you did it. You burn the bridge, there's no recovery in the human's realm. So you have nowhere to go back to. You can only move forward. In some cases, you can only stay there because the people in the front or the people in the back wall doesn't want anything to do with you. Except that the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And I have counseled. I've been in similar situation. I cannot go to the where I find myself reaping the reward of my own failure, the consequences of my own action, the bitter pill of what I did. At times we do this thing in a moment of time, maybe in anger, in frustration. We say the right, you say the wrong thing. Or we did something to our loved ones, and then you have just done me big damage. I start wondering, where do I go? Do I go forward? Do I go backward? Do I turn around? What do I do at this point? Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you go through the scripture, you see that there are people who have gone through the same situation. The prodigal son, Nebuchadnezzar, Eli, David in the Bible, in the case of Bathsheba. And just across the Bible, people who have done sin and they are crying out, David cried out unto God. My sin has found me out. But they turned unto the Lord for help. That was the case. He told Israel to number themselves and they numbered and God started to kill. And the consequences of that action was so tragic. The cost of 1,000 died. because of that. This morning, we are going to look into recovery, overcoming the consequences of your life failure. The reason we are preaching it is not because we are trying to pull you out of it. You're already in it. It's just some people get into it and they don't know how to get out. Some people are in it and they don't know how to even start on the process of getting out of it. There is a biblical principle that will guide us through that this morning. We are going to read from an example of a young man in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 16. And he said, a certain man had two sons, verse 12. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living, 13. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And the citizen of that country sent him into the fields to do one job that nobody wants to do, to feed a swine, pig feeder. And he would even have fain have filled his own very stomach, his own belly, with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Stop here for now. This is a tragic situation, brethren. A child, a son that is born to a noble family. We come to that part, you see, that is from a noble family. He has everything most people will ever want in life. He has servants. He has his father's house, his father watching over him. Even the people who work for them have more than they want. They eat and to spare. But he did something that is tragic. Even in the time we live in, you don't get your dividend or your portion or your inheritance when your father or mother is still alive. They may help you along the way. It's during the reading of the will after the person has passed on that they say, okay, this belongs to you, that belongs to you. But not with this young man. He went ahead wishing that his father would be dead. His father didn't die on time, and so he said, I'm tired of waiting for you to die off or whatever. Give me my portion now. Give me what pertains to me. What will have come to me after you died, I want it now. And they say, his father said, well, take it. This is it for you. And so he took the portion that will have come to him and went out into another country, another place altogether, and start to spend, and start to abuse, and start to misuse it, partying, drunkards, whatever it is he's doing, he did it. And he spent a fortune, wasted it. He didn't count on other factors that there would be time famine in the land. But there was famine. And there was no job. His friends who were partying with him, everybody moved on once the money is gone. And he came low. He hit the bottom. This is where we hit the bottom. And I say to him, you are at the lowest level of your life. He hit the bottom to the point he has no food to put into his own mouth. And he looked for a job. May God deliver us in Jesus' mighty name. Because, you see, some of the people, the place he went to look for a job, nobody will give him. And the person who even gave him a job probably knows him before. And they ground his face to the ground. They put his face on the soil and ground it and say, you know what? The only job you are good for is to go feed swine, pig, Jews doesn't eat pigs, but that is what you are going to go feed. And he has no option than to take that job. And they counted the number of husks, that is like maize, they gave to him and said, make sure it is the fig that you don't eat out of it. He was hungry. He would even have loved to feed out of the same barrels or buckets or whatever with the pig, and he has nothing. The reason I say may God help us is because if not for God's mercy, that is why we are not consumed. When we fall into a certain situation and we are looking for pity, we are looking for help, we are looking for mercy from the world, they will grind your face, but it's God that upholds us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. They will have no mercy for you. So don't put yourself in a situation where you will even ask for their mercy. The only mercy we can get in this life is from the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For I say his compassion faileth not. New every morning is God's love, and great is his faithfulness. That it is of the Lord's mercy we are not even consumed in the first place. So he went and rented himself out, and he was hustling to even put something to eat in his own stomach, eating with the pigs. Then one day he decided, and that is where the message starts this morning, enough of this. Why am I in this situation? And that is where I want us to see that I said in the beginning that when you have been falling into consequences of failure, fasting alone won't deliver you. Praying and fasting alone won't do it. It is good to fast and to pray. But you have to look at the situation and see, how do I recover from this situation? What is my portion? Because many a times we are in self-denial. We are lying to ourselves. We are covering our own shady or evil activities or failures or sin. And we refuse to face the facts. And so we continue in that situation because we have not come to realization that we have a part to do in this. Many of us have a way of shutting it down, sweeping it under the rug, hiding it, our own sin, to ourselves and to the Lord, who knows everything about you anyway. Go to verse 17. One day the young man woke up and said, and when he came to himself, there will be four areas of ours, ours this morning. Realization is the first one. When he came to himself, he came to realization suddenly, somehow. Are you telling me that all this while, when he squandered the money, when he was doing this thing, he was like a veil has covered his eyes? When that veil covers your eyes, you can't see your own failure. Advice falls off way from your ear. You feel, okay, I'm entitled. You feel, okay, I haven't done anything wrong. You feel, like, well, this thing I'm going through is just for a moment. I'm going to overcome it. Good and bad news. Yes, you can overcome it, but you will not combine with that mentality, with that state of mind. He fell to the lowest bottom, where he went and was eating with pigs. He hasn't realized it. But where come a time when he said, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants, blessed be the name of the Lord. There is many marriages today that is falling apart. There are many couples, relationships that are breaking. Unfortunately, nobody in that family, either the man or the woman, have not come to realization that something is wrong. Because that is the first step to salvaging the situation. There are many people in some businesses or work or whatever that God has moved on from that area. Like Elijah was sitting there and the brook was dried up. I was sitting there saying, move out of that place. the brook is dried. But they are still sitting there, suffering from the consequences of their own failures. There are many people who, because of their lifestyle, have fallen into evil diseases. And they are still doing the same thing they are doing, and praying and fasting that the Lord will deliver them from that situation. There are many people who have moved or pushed away their children, and they wonder why none of them is listening or coming back to me. They have not realized that anything is wrong. There are many people who are sitting in jail, who are in a situation that is the consequences of their own failures. But they have not, they still blame everybody. There are people who are failing in their life, and all they can do is to blame that voodoo, blame that witches, blame that wizard that is after me. Whereas 99.9% or 90% of it is of your own make. You are hanging the blame on other things instead of coming to realization. And he said, he came to himself. What do you mean you came to yourself? It is when there's a cloud over your eyes and you are shielding your conscience, your mind, your understanding from seeing the truth as they were. Because when you have realized your mistake, then you can start to reason. You can start to reason accurately and say, maybe it is what I did. How do I recover from it? What do I do? What is the process? What is the way out of this situation? You have to come to realization first. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And he says, and when he have come to realization, when he has done telling himself the truth, when he is no more lying to himself, when he's now asking himself the hard questions about why am I here? A son from a noble family, loved by my father and mother. There is no written data that the father was harsh or mean unto him. Have everything I want in life. How did I find myself feeding pigs? How did I find myself in a pig stay? Why am I in this situation? He came to that realization. Then he started to reason. How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to eat and to spare? He is not from a mean environment. He has servants paid. They have bread enough to eat and to spare in his father's own house. This is a noble son. This is a son of kingdom that was brought low by the consequences of their own action. And many a times we blame every other person but ourselves. We blame the government. We blame the system. We blame, but we fail to realize that we put ourselves in this situation and we are expecting mercy from the world. We are expecting mercy from the system. We are expecting mercy from Satan, who wants to destroy you, pull you down. The best thing is don't go there in the first place. And if you go there at all, quickly come back. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the world will not show you, they will throw the maximum sentence on you. Don't go there. Children, if you are listening to me in this message, be careful what you do in your youth. If you are here listening or will listen later on, be careful what you do because there is consequences to every action. There is a payback to it. There is a season of sowing. And there's a season of reaping. And you will reap what you sow. But we thank God that his mercy endured forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God's love will never change. And will never abandon you. But stay away from that corruption. Stay away from that thing. There are certain things we do just for a minute or two. And the consequence of it lives for you with you forever. But for God's mercy. So now he reasoned to himself. He started telling himself the truth. He understood he has failed. But he said, well, even if I have failed, even if I have sinned, I now come to realization that this is my own fault. I cannot be waiting for my father to send people to come and search me out and try to bring me home. I have to do something at this point. And he started to reason and said, even here I am, how many of my own father's servants are better off than me? It is time to do something. And then he moved to the stage three and he said, he resolved. Go to verse 18, please. Verse 18, 1-8. He now reached a resolution. I will arise and go to my father. And this is a very hard place for many people. But this is where, if you can get to this point, you will avoid certain pits in life. Many of us have not reasoned, have not realized, have not reasoned, and then we have not come to this point where we resolve to do what is right. There are some people who in their family, there are some people who in their relationship tend to only think of themselves and not the other partner. There are people who in relationship does not have the insight to look at what is going on in this family. Am I the only one? Is there something going on? How can we resolve it before it gets out of hand? And A is waiting for B to make a move. And B is waiting for A to make a move. And nobody will make a move because we are waiting for the other one to be the one to start it. Whereas things are going bad from day to day. It started on a tangent, you meet at a point, and each start going this way, you start going this way. The more the days pile up, the more the separation. The more it's harder to come back. The more it's harder to see what needs to be done to solve the situation. Things that were being resolved on day one, you leave it on the third day, the enemy will work more on it. Each person is waiting for the other one to be the one that will make a move. If only he will apologize. If only she will apologize. If only he will say good morning. If only he will say, have you eaten today? And nobody is willing to be the one that will make the first move in solving the problem, and the enemy keep to pile on it and pile on it, and it becomes a mountain that you could not climb. This is where this young man was. He allowed the things to get to this point, but one day he woke up and said, I will. He made a commitment. I will no more wait for anybody to look for me. I will no more wait for things to change. I will do something about it myself. I will take action. I will move from this situation. I left on my own accord. I will return on my own accord. I say, I will arise and go back to my father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will arise and go back to my father. In this case, he chose to go back. Many of us, when we face what it means to go back, the enemy will hold us back. We are talking on a physical level here. Where you need to go back to somebody to apologize for the wrong you have done. We are talking on the physical level where you may have to make a sacrifice to show that you have changed. But what is holding you? Oh, the shame of it. How am I going to go own up to my boss? How am I going to go own up to my wife or my husband? How am I going to go own up to my children that I've done wrong? The way I did it is wrong. And you leave it to simmer? Be a Christian. Wake up and do what is right. It is time to put away your shame and put on a robe of humility. And say, I am wrong. I will arise and go back to my father. And when I go back, I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned not only against heaven, but unto you. The coming back person needs to be humble. Not to be haughty. Not to be full of themselves. Or try to show false bravado. and say, okay, I'm coming back now, and you know, I don't want anything. I don't want to talk to me and stuff, you know. I used to have that part of the palace. I want it back right now. I used to be in this position in my father. I want to know. He said, I will go back and I say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee and before thee. And so he moved on to the last part. He returned and said, I am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Verse 20. And he arose. This is the area that many of us, because this is when the enemy will come in the dead of the night and say, don't do it. Do you know the shame that you put yourself through in going back? How do you know they will accept you? What if you drag yourself stinking from your pigsty, from being skinny looking and looking like a beggar and a tramp and stuff, and you go back and your father says, I don't want to see you. Get out, get out, get out, get out. Your shame will even compile. Better stay here and die. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. You are going through the consequences. Something has to be done for you to recover from consequences of your action. There's a price you have to pay. That is why sometimes people have to go to jail and they pay that price. But when they are in that jail system, at times they reduce their sentence because they say, well, he's been in the jail, he's not involved in fighting, he's not involved in drug doing, he's not involved in things that we're doing there. And so they say, okay, you present your case to this, and they say, I enrolled in school. I went back to take classes. I now have my GED. I now have my whatever it is. And so they look and say, yeah, you are worthy to be put back even to the society. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you arose, you say, oh, I'm not here to argue it. I committed a robbery. I'm guilty of it. There's no question about it. I did it. I know I did it. And I received a just recompense. I was put into jail for 4 years, for 5 years or whatever. But I will not come here and pity party myself. I will rise and do something. And they start, I've been people, if you meet people in this situation, which we have done in witnessing, in going out to reach out to people, or people that call us over the phone, or meet with us. They were guilty, but they did right when they go there and realize that they were wrong. And when they realize they were wrong, they reason why they did all this thing. What can I do to get out of it? And then they resolve, and now there's opportunity to return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he said, and he arose and came to his father. And this is where we want us to key in this morning. In case you are a backsliding child of God, in case you have given up on your faith, in case you feel that, oh, I went out in the world and did all these unmentionable sinful actions, which is biting me and catching up with me, but I know that the only place I can find refuge, I can find help, is back in the household of God. But what will God do? What will the people of God do? And this part I want us to introduce, not just about God, but unto the people of God, the household of faith. Somebody that is returning back to you after they have done something wrong. What is your attitude as a Christian? What is your action as a Christian? What is it that you are supposed to do? I told you so. I warned you before not to do it. You are useless before. You are still useless now. And no, that's not what they need. This is what God did. This is what the Father did. But when he was yet a great way off, amen? Somebody say amen. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. Do you know every step that young man took to come back? Every step is full of remorse and fear. What happened? What if the people of the town saw me? What if my brother saw me for? What if my father threw me away? This is what's going on. But unknown to him, unknown to you today, that God's love has never condemned you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter where you are falling, no matter what the pit is, God's love has never condemned you and will never condemn you. His love is new every morning. That's why he renews it every morning. He doesn't allow it to grow stale. He doesn't allow it to expire. It is of Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. For his compassion they faileth not. New every morning is thy love, and great is God's faithfulness. He said, but when he was yet afar off, the father knowing that if I allow him to walk through the city, through the town, and whatever, people will now start to throw egg on him or start to shame him. Who will finally come back? Look at you. Wayward son, prodigal son, this and that. He said he ran to meet him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because of what he had compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't say, you are smelling. He didn't say, you don't look like him. No. He said he hugged his son. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. This is showing us of God's love. And that is why we should love God first. And that is why we have to give all things to God back in love. The compassion of God is shown here. And I want to extend it to the people in the church that seems to drag people down who has failed. Oh, he destroyed his home. Oh, he destroyed her home. Oh, he failed in this thing. He never get to be anything because of... No. Do you know what it takes somebody to come back to the church? The enemy will fight them tooth and nail to stop them from coming back. The enemy will discourage them, tell them lies, tell them whatever, and say, you cannot go back there because you know what they will do. And when the person tries to come back, you justify the enemy by doing exactly what the enemy said, becoming a hindering block to a saint of God. We should never do that in Jesus' mighty name. We should never do that. Nebuchadnezzar fell into the same trap and he used the same... I just want to point out that these four things work. When you realize that you have failed, you have fallen, you have made a mistake, that realization set in your life and you went on to reason why you are there. What brought me to this point? And you went on again to resolve in taking appropriate action to restore yourself. And not only that, you put the action word into move. You arose and did something, you returned. He was a man that was blessed by God. The Bible said that he had a dream. In that dream, the whole world, the base of the earth, the animals, everything living was under that tree. The tree has grown to be mighty. And in his dream, he says, suddenly, there was a cry from the watchers. A decree was made to cut it down and leave the stump. And the Holy One backs it up and said, the demand is that 7 seasons will pass over you. For the intent that all the living people who have been under you, who have seen you grow so mighty, becomes, will know that the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth himself, reigns supreme over the affairs of sons of men. And he couldn't figure out what the meaning of this dream was. He called his soothsayers, his necromancers, and all of them and said, come and tell. They couldn't. They called that Daniel. And Daniel had a dream. And after he had a dream, for 1 whole hour, Daniel sat there and was looking at the king and couldn't believe it. For 1 hour, the Bible says, he was amazed, stunned. How can this great Nebuchadnezzar come to nothing? That he will be turned away from the realms of the mortal man to an animal place. for 7 seasons, 7 times to pass over him. And God, always being merciful, gave him a line, throw him a line to come out of that situation and say, well, you can come out of this situation, or you may, but hearken to this counsel that we're going to give you today. Turn around and turn to righteousness and do righteousness. Turn away from your evil ways and do righteousness. And show mercy to the poor. Extend this mercy to others so that God may give you mercy and extend your tranquility in this life, your peace, your time of peace. And gave him 12 months to get it done. When we are saying that we are not here, our discussion today is not to show that we are trying to pull you out of that quagmire, out of that pit, out of that failure, you are already in it. At this point, Nebuchadnezzar was not in the pit yet. A time of grace was given to him. And many a times, God gives us time of grace to stop us from going into the consequences of our actions. But we, in our own ignorance, will not take a step to even deliver ourselves. The solution was simple. Make effort to turn to righteousness. Limit your iniquity, or do away with it altogether, and show mercy to the poor, so that your tranquility, your peace can be extended. But he would not listen. 12 months exactly, he was working in his palace, and he was full of himself yet, and he says, wow, is this not all my kingdom? Why am I even afraid of this dream? I build it by the power of my might. Why is this dream even in my mind? No, these things are there for me. I build it. I did it. And say a voice came from heaven that the decree has been made by the holy ones, by the watchers. And today your kingdom is one word within few seconds, then you are out of it. In their kingdom, there might be existing a law that say that if you become mad or somebody that is leprous in those days, you are removed from the city. You are not allowed to stay there to be king, no matter who you are. And so a king was bundled out, and 7 seasons, go to Daniel chapter 4, verse, I think it's 36. Daniel 4, let's start from 35. Daniel 4. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Let's go back to like 30 and read down, please. Daniel 30 and read down to the point we're going. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? 31. While the word was yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven and said, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. That is how fast all these noisemakers in the world today, that is how fast all these people who thought they are anything or whatever, whoever you think you are, that's how fast God can just take you from the height of power, the apex of your might, to nothing. The kingdom is removed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Let's go to 33 quickly. The same hour was this thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and was driven from men, and did eat from grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bear's claws. 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, then he started to reason. You're going to see where the Bible mentioned the same four options. And he started to reason, and he said, in 34, let's go to the former one, please. Nebuchadnezzar has lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? If only he has realized this, he wouldn't be where he is today. 36. And he says in 4:36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. Let's stop there for a moment. If only Nebuchadnezzar has reason, come to realization that God rules in the affairs of sons of men, and that his kingdom is without end. He has dominion over all things created. The Lord showed him where you are a tree, with all this other creation under you. He became mighty and puffed up in his own mind. He did not realize that it is God that put these things under him. And so one word from God stripped him from all of them, and he became nothing. And so after 7 years, 7 seasons of living like an animal, a mighty king, king over 120 dominions, states, nations in the world, from India to Mesopotamia in those days, he rules over all of them. He was brought to nothing. And then he said, and my reason returned unto me. And my reason returned unto me. Brethren, take time to reason out, to think through certain situations. When you are going through, now he is in that mess. A little window of opportunity came. He has some reasoning from his madness. And he came to realization that my sin has brought me so low. My failures has put me where I am. The consequences I'm going through now is because of my action. And he reasoned, and the Lord gave him back everything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Quickly, as we close, I want you to notice that he says, my honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And to top it all, he said, excellent majesty was added unto me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you have fallen and you are in that pit, it looks like you are not going to be anything or anybody again. Do not despair. The Lord can pick you from there, dust you up, and put you back where excellent majesty, better condition, greater height, more glory, more beautiful things will happen in your life because you come back again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That prodigal son, do you know what happened? Certain things happened in his life that wasn't there before. He said when the father has hugged him, they pulled him into his house, they start to put signet in his hand. A signet is a badge of honor. A signet you have to use as a son. You become an ambassador representing that family. You weren't in that position before. He can now go and sign paper on behalf of his father. He can go and do things. And then they put a robe onto him. Then they put a sandal on his feet. We don't have time to explain this in detail. But these are things that he may not have been entitled to before. But because he went back to the father, he confessed his sin, he humbled himself, he lowered himself and said, Lord, my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Nebuchadnezzar did the same. And so things were restored unto him. He said, an excellent majesty was added. It wasn't there before. Certain things that Nebuchadnezzar felt before was happening in his life. His lords, his counselors, the people in his kingdom, everybody was amazed because also the fear of God came unto them. If God can do this to this man, how much more will he do to us? If God can do it to our overlord, the King of Kings of the whole nation in those days, How much more can we, ordinary people under him, go through if God wants to punish us? So fear came into the land. Fear of the Lord. Fear of what God can do. Because now he has given a testimony like none other that God rules over the affairs of sons of men. As we stand on our feet this morning, brethren, I want to point out to you to return. If you have fallen on the wayside, if you have backslided, if you have failed in your destiny, if you are in a situation that there are consequences you are going through and you are at a wit's end what to do, you need to go do what the Bible says, what this prodigal son did. He realized that he has made a mistake. He came to himself and he said, well, no more excuses. I need to face reality. I took a good look at myself in the mirror today and I don't like what I'm seeing. This is not where I should be as a child of God. Feeding the pigs, eating with them. That is not our portion in Jesus' mighty name. And then he reasoned with himself. He stood up and said, well, I have failed. I have sinned. I will go back to my father and plead and ask for forgiveness. And then he resolved, I will arise and go and do these things. No more speculation. That time is over with. I need to do something. And he actually took action and started to go back. But the surprising thing is that when he got there, his father did not reject him. God will not reject you. People may reject you. Family may turn away from you. But God will never leave you alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He will accept you as you are, reading in sin, full of mistakes, but you are coming back home. That is what he is there for. The father, like a good shepherd, is waiting for that lost sheep to come back home. And when you come back, it added majesty, additional majesty. Greater things will happen in your life. If you believe it, say amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank God. If you are listening this morning and you have found yourself in this situation, some of us who may have found ourselves in this situation, we know how hard it is to come back because the shame is too much. If it is somebody that have offended, and the Lord, the consequences of it is coming out, go back. Go back. And speak to that person. I have sinned. I made a mistake. I was amazed as a man who called me many years ago. And he says something, I can't even remember me being like over 20 years. I can't get ahead in life. A lot of things is happening to me. Who are you? He mentioned, where do we know? He told me where. I remember, oh yeah, that's you. You are one of those people that ganged up against me and gave witnesses against me. Yes. So I need your forgiveness. How he got my phone number, I don't know. It's way back in another country. I'm here. I say, well, not only are you forgiven, I'm going to sow a seed in your life and God will take you to higher places in Jesus' name. As no week, he hasn't called me since maybe over 10 years now. I myself have failed. A situation I failed God, failed myself. For recovery. Recovery is realization that you have failed, you have sinned. If it is family, do not be ashamed to take up the phone and call. Some people are lonely in life because of shame that they will not be accepted back. Just do it. You'll be surprised what God has for you at the other end. If it is in the Lord, come back to the church. And the church should welcome you, not asking you, where have you been? What happened to you? How come you look different? And this and that. No, you hug him, you welcome him back, you praise the Lord, and don't even mention because they know they have sinned, they have failed. Coming back is not easy. So we are not to be there to rebuke them, castigate them, pull them down again. The enemy has done that already. They are trying to recover. Our duty is to do what that man did. The father did. He ran in compassion, kissed and hugged his son, and brought him back to the house. The Bible said they went in there. He put in a new robe, put a signet in his hand, even with his smelling and everything, put him, and then they killed a fatted cow. And they made merry, and they start to rejoice. He said, why are you doing it? Because this my son was lost, and now he is found. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you. For anybody who is listening to this, or who is here, who are going through consequences of their action, who are paying a heavy price as it is because of their own failures. But this hour, Lord, let there be an awakening in their heart that the Lord is merciful and that his mercy endureth forever. So that, Lord, as we turn back to you, you will take us back into your arms again and wash us clean again and recover us from all we have lost. For Christ has made that amend for us, and the opportunity is there for us to come back. We pray, Lord, for any who is already at a point they burn the bridges and there is nothing to turn back to because the bridge was burned. They cannot cross again back to the other side. They need to move forward. Lord, give them direction, a way forward in Jesus' mighty name. Show your mercies, Lord. This king Nebuchadnezzar said it all. He said, an excellent majesty was added unto me. Lord, add an excellent majesty to such person now in Jesus' mighty name, that they will go to higher level in every aspect of their life, that there will be rejoicing over them, and that, Lord, you will be glorified in their life. Receive all the glory, Father, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.